It's great to have you here today. If you can take your songbooks and turn to song number 259, song number 259, Jesus Saves, song number 259. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the news to every land, climb the seas and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Walked it on. Above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death, an endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the words a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. All right, good singing. We're going to have Brother Reggie Noble pray for the service today.
Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church gathered together. I pray that you would fill us with the Spirit as we continue to sing to you and worship you. And I pray that you fill Pastor Anderson with the Holy Ghost as he preaches your word to us, Lord. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
For the next song, turn in your hymn books to song number 121. Song number 121. Like a River Glorious, song number 121.
Deeper. Great singing.
All right, if you need a bulletin, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a bulletin as soon as they possibly can. And so let's get the announcements out of the way. First things first, Pastor Anderson, in case you know, will not be preaching this morning. His flight had issues, so he will be preaching this evening. So if I totally bomb it this morning, in case you don't know, I am preaching. I found out around 9 a.m. when my wife shows up. I put my phone on charge. I'm busy cleaning the building, setting up the coffee, getting the tub ready. She's like, you know you're preaching this morning? I'm like, I am? She's like, yeah, what do you mean? It's like, your phone, oh, it's charging. I'm like, all right, well, you know what to do. Go bring me 2 rock stars this morning because I'm going to get on fire for you. Just kidding, no rock stars, okay? They're monsters, amen? All right, so besides that, in case you don't know, we finally have the yearbook. So if you want a yearbook, they're going to be in the very, very back. So feel free to grab one as soon as you can and enjoy the yearbook. And yes, we'll be taking pictures soon for the next yearbook that we plan to have by December 25th. Amen. We will redeem ourselves. Right, Ramon? You don't sound very motivated, bro. All right, I heard something back there. I'm assuming he said amen. All right, so if you do have a bulletin, feel free to open it up. Service times are right there on the left side. Winning times are right there, very bottom. And salvation and baptisms for the year. All right, I'm just read this announcement on the right hand. All families with students in K-5 through 12th grade, ages 5 and up, are invited to join us tomorrow, Monday, September 1st at 4 p.m. for our annual Don't Go Back to School party. That's going to be right down here, about 5 minutes away or less at Swap Park in Tempe. If you don't know, give it somebody that knows. Come ask me if you need directions. We'll have a water balloon fight by age group, followed by ice cream and fellowship. Younger siblings may attend, but due to safety reasons, we will not be permitted to participate in the water balloon fight. Because some teenagers can throw a water balloon very, very hard. Join us next Sunday, September 7th at 10 a.m. for donuts and coffee in honor of those celebrating their birthday in the month of September. Very bottom, join us for soul winning in downtown Phoenix. First Friday, September 5th at 6 p.m. We're going to meet at Burton Bar Central Library, 1221 North Central Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. Steve Tillson's number's right there. I don't want to give it out to the internet because he will hate me forever. On the back, please pray for the expectant ladies and take a look at those upcoming events when you get a chance. Other than that, I think I got everything. Mrs. A, did I miss anything? What I got? The what? Oh, exactly. Thank you. One yearbook per household. What do we do with these young guys that are single living by themselves? All right, that's a household. Silly question. Just checking y'all. Everybody good so far? This is coffee, in case you're wondering. Sorry, didn't really go to bed early last night, but I'm about to wake up. Amen?
In your songbooks, turn to song number 21. Song number 21. What a wonderful Savior. Song number 21.
Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior.
All right, we'll sing one last song before we get into the preaching. Song number 321, song number 321. Where He leads, I will follow. Song number 321.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is He. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day.
Read the offering, please.
List to His loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in His promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day.
All right, great singing.
Waiting for that piano to end. All right, at this time, we're going to pass the offering place. As we're passing around the offering place, please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12.
Luke chapter 12. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, He began to say unto His disciples, first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues, and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, There cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, There will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite.
Lord, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for the word, Lord. We just thank you that you've just given us your blessing, your word, your truth, Lord. And we just ask you to give a blessing to the message here today with Brother Segura. We just thank you for the service. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. So Luke chapter number 12, the verses that I want to focus on is right there in verse number 13 through 21. And 13 is a reminder, says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. Take heed and beware of covetousness. And that's the title of my sermon this morning, is Beware of Covetousness. Beware of covetousness. And I want to talk about covetousness this morning because this is a very serious sin. It may not seem like it. At times it may be silly, but covetousness is a very dangerous sin. And I'll talk about that in a second. But my first point is that covetousness is dumb. Covetousness is dumb. It makes you foolish. Sometimes when we covet things, you may not see it as so, but it will make you look foolish. Especially with little children. Little children, they covet things that we know they will never, ever have. For example, when I was a kid, I coveted a submarine. I couldn't wait to grow up and try to get my hands on a submarine. And I'm not talking about those private submarines that people make these days. I'm talking about the ones with nuclear weapons. I'm like, man, this thing is bad. Nuclear weapon, nuclear power, it could be underwater for years. I'm like, man, that would be awesome to have one day. I don't know how to get one, but I want to get one. Now imagine an adult saying that. Brother, my goal one day is to get a submarine. I don't need the nuclear weapons, but you know what? I would love to own a submarine one day. A class one submarine. I hope one day the Navy has a sale and I get so rich that I'll be able to afford one and I'll be cruising all over the world. But I'll do it for the Lord's sake. All right. I'll do it for the Lord's sake. I promise I'll go from port to port, get out, and I'll go witnessing in every street in every country. That is my goal. That's what I desire. You guys are kind of laughing because you're afraid to laugh out loud, but I can kind of hear you. But it's no different than when people try to covet something that they will never be. Or they will never have. It's silly. And if you don't believe me, let's just keep reading. Let's just keep reading really quickly. And he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. See, here's the thing. Then he goes into a parable. Into a parable where there's a guy who loves money. He loves money, and you'll see what the Lord calls this individual. So my first point is that covetousness is dumb. Or in other words, foolish. Foolish for us to desire things that we will never have. You name the thing. So let's keep reading. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what should I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I know what I'll do. I know a bunch of poor people. I'm just going to take my extra food and I'm going to just go give it away, give it to poor people, people that really need it. Is this what this rich man's thinking? No way. He's not thinking that. This is a covetous person. How do you know? Because of his actions. And look what the Lord calls him. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, look at those two words, thou fool. What is this guy's problem? He wants more. What is his desire? Which is covetousness. Covetousness comes down to desire. And you can say it's not always bad. True, because guess what? Paul said, I covet your prayers. What is he saying? I desire your prayers. I want your prayers. But in this case, this guy's coveting things that are evil. And we shouldn't covet after evil things. And what does he want? He just wants money because this guy loves money. Nothing wrong with money. Some people like to say that. Oh, Christians, you have a problem with money. No, we have a big problem with the love of money. That's the big issue right there. When you love profit over people, you'll do wicked things. You'll do anything you can and everything you can to get power, because guess what? Money does equal to power sometimes. But right here you clearly see that God calls this man a fool. So catch yourself. I try to do that. Listen, this is a sin that is common to man. So I don't need to ask, raise your hand if you ever coveted. I know you have. I didn't think that's such a silly question. I already have my silly question for the day, and that's what I said earlier during the announcements, all right? So I'm tapped out with silly questions. So we all know that it's a sin that we all struggle with, but we need to control it. You need to be careful. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And if you're not careful, you can become a very wicked person very quick, super quick. And so, of course, if you got your Bibles, go to Isaiah 14. Go to Isaiah 14. And I want to preach about covetousness, because it's something that we need to be careful that we don't become. In fact, if you ever want to be used by God, newsflash, he doesn't pick covetous people. He doesn't. You know, when they decided to pick people in the Old Testament, I believe it's in the book of Exodus, well, God says, thou shalt pick from among you, you know, able men, men of truth. Then it says, hating covetousness. And thou shalt place them to be rulers over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. And when I notice that the most wicked rulers, that's what they have in common. They're not men of truth. They lie because that's how they are. They're wicked. When you're wicked, you lie a lot. And then they covet. They desire more. Because one thing leads to another. And so, of course, if you're in Isaiah, when I think about foolish people that coveted in the Bible, I don't know about you, but I think of Satan. I think of Satan. Why? Let's take a look. Because I think this is the silliest thing and the best example of someone who desires something that he can never get. Never get. Big time foolish individual. So if you're in Isaiah, go to verse number 12. Let's talk about our adversary, sorry about that. Man, this is actually on a hair trigger. And so we're in verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? So what are we talking about? Lucifer. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? And at the end of the day, that's who's weakening our nation, is Satan. Yeah, he uses people, but at the end of the day, don't get so caught up in politics, because at the end of the day, who's the one that's weakening our nations or any nation? It's the devil. That's your adversary. That's the guy to always remember. He's the one behind it. Everybody else is just being used by him, unfortunately. And so it says, for thou hast said in thy heart. Didn't even say it out loud, because I'm sure all the other angels will be laughing at him if he said it out loud. But he's saying it in his heart. What is he saying? Let's take a look. I'm in verse number 13, Isaiah 12. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What a foolish thing to think. Something he will never, ever do. And we all know the story. It ain't going to happen. It will never happen. The Bible makes it very clear that everlasting fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. And he's working hard to take you with him. Not if you're saved, but I'm talking about the world. He's doing everything he can in his power to take people to hell with him, because it's prepared for him. He has no hope. The devil, he has no salvation. When Christ died, he takes the death for every man, not everything that he created. He didn't taste death for the angels. He didn't taste death for Satan. So he's done. He's toast. So, of course, he knows he has but a short while, and he's going around destroying the nations. And, of course, if you become this individual that covets things that you should not be coveting after, you will not be satisfied if you were to get it. You're just not going to be satisfied. You're going to look like a total fool. Ecclesiastes 5:10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. The covetous man is never content. He's never happy. He looks like a total fool. Real life example. Some of you may get offended. I'm not here to offend you on purpose, but I'm just calling it like it is. One of the best examples of this is our president, Donald Trump. Donald Trump. I don't know if you noticed what he's been up to, But he's turned that White House, which is supposed to be for servants. You know, when you look at the White House, you're supposed to look at the White House and think this is where our leaders are. Leaders are supposed to be humble. They're not supposed to turn the White House into some kind of palace. And he started with a little bit of gold. Then he does another conference, more gold. Then another conference, more gold. Now when you look at him and he's being interviewed, he sits on a gold-colored chair and there's gold all over him. And he brags about it. Look how much gold is here. Look at this gold. Look at this gold. So he started in that office. Now he's in the hallways. He's like, I want gold here. I want gold there. I want gold everywhere. You don't think he'll be content with all that gold when he's doing interviews? Or the whole, he's trying to show off to people he probably doesn't even like. And a lot of times when we covet things that we want because we kind of want to be looked at. We want to be, I guess you can say, admired. But you end up impressing no one, and you end up looking like a total fool. And that's what he's doing. He's constantly just adding more and more gold, and he brags about it. That's 24 gold. That's 24 karats gold right there. Then people figured him out. Okay, if you want this guy to be on your good side so he can help you and get some policies going, people are bringing him literally gold. Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, who knows what he did to get Trump to start liking him again so he doesn't tariff the heck out of his company, because that's how he makes money, is by selling goods. And now that there's tariffs going through the roof, he knows he has to charge more for his iPhones, and nobody's going to pay $3,000 for an iPhone. But if he doesn't get Trump to put down the tariffs, guess what's going to end up happening? He's got to raise the price on these iPhones. He ain't going to eat the cost. He wants to be a trillionaire. So what does he do? Hey, Mr. Trump, you're so wonderful. You're so great. Here, I got your gold bar, 24 karats gold. And then, of course, they're trying to bring FIFA into the United States. So what does the FIFA leader do? Hey, Mr. Donald Trump, this is our FIFA trophy. The last guy that touched it was Messi. It's real gold. Ah, Donald Trump, ah, you know how to get my attention. Ah. Hey, he admits it. He loves it. And he's coveting the Nobel Peace Prize, probably because that medal's made out of gold. Does anybody know what that medal's made out of? He doesn't want it because he wants peace. He wants that gold medal. Hangs it around his neck like a gangster rapper. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's already selling gold sneaks. Maybe one day he'll sell gold grills. Maybe one day we'll catch him in an interview. Mr. President, is that your new grill? Oh, yeah, 24 karat gold. How you like it? While he's wearing his Nobel Peace Prize. He's constantly like, I want the Nobel Peace Prize. He's coveting the Nobel Peace Prize. He's trying to claim that he sold or saw what? Seven wars. Seven wars. And people are calling him out. Seven wars? What wars? Well, the war between Pakistan and India. I solved that. And then the Pakistanis and the Indian president is like, no, you didn't, you liar. You never solved that. So then they start making fun of him in the Indian news. Well, Donald Trump, since you're making stuff up, hey, why don't you just declare yourself that you solved the war between, I don't know, what is it, the Roadrunner and Coyote? They literally said that in the interview. Is America, why stop there? Donald Trump, since you stopped the war with India and Pakistan, why don't you just continue? Declare to the world that you stopped the war between the Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. Why not? Continue. You solved the war between Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. Who's seen that? Who's seen that interview? It's a real thing that some Indian newscast started calling out Trump for all his lies. And they're like, no, you will never, never get a peace prize while he's bombing Iran. Never get a peace prize while he's feeding weapons to Israel to annihilate, you know, the Palestinians. While he's allowing Russia to bomb children left and right, he can technically stop it if he really wanted to, but he ain't gonna stop it because that's his buddy. He wants the approval of dictators because he wants encouragement to become one day, in case you haven't figured it out. But this man loves silver. This is not a shock that he's not satisfied with just his little office or the little press conference area. Now he's going to the hallways. And he brags about him, but he loves gold. I love that gold. Well, you'll never be satisfied with that gold, Donald Trump, even if you own all the gold in the world. But he's looking silly in the world's eyes, and that's what happens when you become a covetous person and you always talk about making money and how you want to own this one day, own that one day, and you're going to be like Satan. Look like a silly person in the world's eyes as well, because these aren't Christians calling Donald Trump out. These are people from all kinds of parts of the world, all different religions, seeing the exact same thing that we're all seeing in America, but we can't do anything about it because we voted him in. And maybe you love Trump, keep praying for him, maybe he can still get saved, who knows? But hey, I think it's a cult. You're like, why? Why are you calling the MAGA group a cult? I don't know, because their leader is preaching damnable heresy? Let's start with that. See, people call us a cult. Oh, Faithful Word is a cult. Faithful Word is a cult. Faithful Word is a cult. Okay, so you're basically saying you don't believe the salvation that we believe in. So you're basically saying you don't believe that it's by grace through faith. So what you're basically saying that you don't believe is salvation is a gift, it's through Christ, once it's yours forever, because ain't we been preaching that for who knows how long? For 19 years going on 20? So somebody's going to call us a cult. That means that you believe that we are preaching damnable heresy. True? Isn't that what a cult is? Because obviously every church is going to preach maybe something different. Maybe heresy, but it's not damnable heresy. But if you're going to call a group a cult, I'm going to start out, well, what makes them a cult? To me, it would be damnation. What do they believe about salvation? And what did old wonderful leader, our great leader, come up with? That he's trying to get into heaven. I'm trying to get into heaven, people. I heard I'm not doing so well. I heard I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. And then people get mad when I say Donald Trump is crap. You know, where'd you get that from? Donald Trump? He said it himself. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. Translation, I know I'm a bad person. I know I suck. But I'm trying to do something about it. I don't really want to go to heaven. Now that I'm 79, having the old problems, who knows when I'm going to die. My vice president keeps eyeing my position. Talking about how, like, I'm ready if something happens. I'm ready to take over. 6 months of OTJ. I'm ready to take over as soon as he croaks. But he's in great health. He's in great health. Don't worry. He's in great health. So Donald Trump's like, well, y'all trying to kill me or what? So now more and more, he's thinking about death. More and more, he's thinking about heaven. More and more, he's trying to get into heaven. But what is he preaching? Damnable heresy. And his Catholic people, everybody, nobody's calling them out because they follow him blindly. Sounds to me like it's a what? A cult. Hate to break it to you. Sorry, I'm not saying that everybody that voted for him is part of the cult. I'm not saying that. Joe Rogan's like, I'm out. He tricked me. I'm out of here. If Joe Rogan can figure it out, other people will figure it out. But we've been figuring it out. We've been known that this guy ain't saved. He says he's a Christian. He gets offended when we call him that he's not a Christian. But at the end of the day, his biggest issue, besides obviously being covetous, is that he believes damnable heresy. And who knows if it's too late for him. Hey, if you love him that much, hey, keep praying for him. God opens up his eyes. Who knows, right? Nebuchadnezzar can get saved. Maybe old Donnie has a chance. Amen? So point number one, covetousness will make you a fool in God's eyes. You're like, who cares if people think I'm a fool? You shouldn't worry about what I say. You shouldn't worry about what he says. You should worry about what God says. And what does he say? Thou fool, if you become this money-loving, covetous person. Not just that. It'll make you devilish. That's point number two. Just stay in Isaiah. We're in Isaiah, right? Well, we already read the part that I wanted to bring up. But you're right there in verse number 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. To hell. Those that lift themselves up, hey, God is going to bring them down. Those that humble themselves, God is going to raise them up. So when it comes to being a covetous person, it'll make you devilish. Go to Matthew 16, please. Matthew 16. Saved or unsaved, it can make you devilish. By becoming a covetous person, when you desire those things that are of men instead of those things that are of God, hey, you know what? There was a certain person in the Bible. We all know he saved. We all know he meant well. Way greater man than me and you. He's in the Bible. He wrote books in the Bible, but yet God called him Satan. Satan. Why? Because he was desiring, coveting things that were of men, not of God. You guys are right there in Matthew 16. Let's go to verse number 23. Matthew 16, 23. In fact, let's start in verse number 21. If you happen to be there, great. If not, I'm going to start reading. You can meet me in the main verse I want to focus on, which is verse number 23. I'm going to read Matthew chapter number 16, starting in verse number 21. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Imagine he's rebuking Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because at this point, Peter's so prideful, he thinks he knows better than God. But don't be like Peter, because hey, this is a sin that's also common to man. We cannot think that we know better than God. Don't believe me? Well, let me ask you this. Are there Christians in this world that get tattoos? Absolutely. There's Christians in this world that get tattoos. I'm not talking about Catholics, okay? I'm not talking about people that are whatever. I'm talking about independent, fundamental, King James, soul winning. Guess what? They, if they're not careful, can be deceived by the world and think tattoos is no big deal. I was one of them. I didn't think they were a big deal. I almost got a tattoo as an 18-year-old kid. I was in the tattoo shop. I was getting ready to get one. My buddy went first. Took forever. I got hungry. I left. Then I changed my mind. That's just how it worked out. And then I never got one just because I was just like, yeah, I'll get one when I get out, the Marines or something, you know. I want to take my time because I know it's permanent. You know, I want to make sure if I get something, it's something that'll help my life. At least I was thinking kind of spiritual, like a Bible verse or something cool, right? You know, I was doing it for me. I wasn't trying to get these tattoos that are on your back that you'll never, ever see. What the heck? Talk about attention whore. The tramp stamp. You'll never see it. Unless you're that addicted to yourself that every morning you're checking out everything. Guys, we don't check out everything, right? Hope you don't. We're like, how's the hair? Nappy? Gel? How's the shave? Rough. Whew. Shave. Except for those that have good beards. I can't grow a beard to save my life. I look like a retarded. I don't want to say it. Let's just say a teenager of a certain religion with a funny hat and little curls on the side. That's what I look like if I try to grow a beard. I look like a 14-year-old teenager from Israel. You don't want me to go there, man. But let's just be honest. If you become that individual that just wants to be noticed, you'll do things, saved or unsaved. You'll be deceived. It wasn't until somebody sat me down and I wasn't trying to get a tattoo. They just went over tattoos. It was just a basic discipleship course. We went over everything as much as we could. Stuff that was basic, like long hair on men, out, sinful. I'm like, good. Tattoos? I'm like, tattoos? Really? Where? Show me. Boom. I'm like, done. Got it. Alcohol? Well, I'm not a drinker, but it's good to know. Yeah, I always thought it would be dumb to just drink yourself to the point where you don't know what's going on. I'm like, glad to see. Hey, Bible's making more sense. You know, so it is what it is. You got to be careful or you can end up desiring things and even rebuking Christians that are trying to correct you. You could be like Peter. Remember, it says what? That he rebuked Jesus. He's like, what are you talking about? It's like, does he think Jesus is an idiot at this point? Probably. But don't be Peter in many different ways. But what happens? Here's what happens. You know, he's desiring those things that of our men. And what does God call this individual? Well, let's keep reading. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be afar from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. What? Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. That could be another point. Covetous people are an offense unto God. So if you're like, I don't really care. Who cares if people think I'm dumb because I want to be a billionaire or whatever? Have you not read? Don't labor to be rich, my guy. And then we'll get into why in a second. But here we see Peter just desiring those things that aren't of God. He says, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Those that be of men. So what am I getting at? I'm getting at that, A, covetous people look stupid in the eyes of God. Covetousness makes you devilish. You need to be careful being covetous because it makes you devilish. And you may be thinking, well, I don't buy that. I think this, I think that. I got a verse for you, James 3:15. See, the wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. What wisdom? The wisdom of the world. And see, that's the thing, is that we sometimes are afraid to just live by the Bible. Why? Because we fear man more than God. And we need to be careful to be these people that fear man more than God, because you'll start doing and saying dumb things just to please man, just to get some attention. It's a fact. Sometimes we're easily influenced. I know of a guy, some girl says, man, I think earrings on guys are cute. Guess what he has the next day? Earrings. And it's like, maybe it's not the person that she's attracted to. Maybe it's those earrings that she's attracted to, bro. So earrings on dude, I don't know what you think, but I think they're effeminate. That's what I think. I think they belong on girls because they're girly. I think men should avoid them like the plague. And if you catch yourself wanting some earrings one day, which can happen, take it to the bank. That wisdom ain't from above. That wisdom is devilish. Devilish, amen? Don't worry, I got 5 minutes left. I only wanted to preach for half an hour this morning. I'm 25 minutes and 11 seconds in. So let's go with point number three. Covetousness is dangerous. Dangerous. Why do you think we have all these wars? Why do you think Donald Trump is changing the Department of Defense to the Department of War? Did you know that? Why do you think Donald Trump told the Israelis, hey, I'm going to help you finish the job? What job? Annihilating the Palestinians? Blowing up innocent men, women, and children? For what? So that he can have a Trump Tower in Israel, beachfront property. Look it up. He said it when Netanyahu was at the White House. He said, we're going to take over the Gaza. Great beachfront property. We're like, hold on, wait, what? Not because he wants a Nobel Peace Prize. He wants his beachfront property. That's what he said. Hey, am I lying? Who knows what I'm talking about? That's what he said. And then people are like, oh, he's just joking. Then he makes an AI video. Who's seen the AI video? An AI video of him with this giant gold statue in the middle, him and Netanyahu on some Trump resorts, chilling by the pool with no shirt on. It's pretty accurate. He was fat as hell. I don't know why he did himself like that, but whatever. He posted it on Truth Social, and I don't know about the White House official account, but he's trying to get us ready for what he's thinking. And why? Because he's a covetous man. And if you don't believe that, hey, this can happen, just read the Bible. There's a certain king who coveted a field. He wanted that field. He goes to the owner and says, hey, I want your field. How much? None. I'm not selling it. Not for sale. Goes home all whatever, sad. Wife's like, why so sad? He said, I want my field. He won't sell it to me. He's like, you're the king. Take it. And they covet fields all the day long, and they're willing to kill to get what they want. Then they get it, and it doesn't make them happy. They think it will, but it doesn't. And we need to be careful coveting, and there's a list of stuff not to covet, but covet things that matter. You know, covet things that God wants you to covet. Because you know what? It is foolish to covet something that you will never have. Another example, being taller. Being taller. I got an email, and this guy's like, why did God make me short? Like, what? I haven't responded. How do I respond to that? Can somebody please help me? People on the internet, give me some suggestions. How do I respond to this, man? I'm trying to answer the email. Put it on hold. Hey, those of you out there, send me something to help this guy out. Let's give him some wise counsel, amen? Because the answer I wanted to give him, because he wanted to. That's why he made you short. And the fact that you are so mad probably is the reason why he made you short, to learn to be content no matter what. Because he thinks if I was just 6 foot tall, I would be a lot happier. And I'll get into it, but hey, your possessions, yeah, per se, it can make you happy. But real happiness, joy, comes from who? From God. And he only gives it to those that are good and in sight. Spoiler alert, almost done. 29 minutes in. So go ahead and go to Joshua. Let's take a look at this guy. This is one of the scariest stories in the Bible of someone that coveted and his family got burned up. Burned up. Donald Trump made a law against burning flags. Who's heard about that? It's like, brother, I don't see any laws against burning flags, but I see a lot of people that get burnt in the Bible. And I also see that God commands certain people to be burned. If you're like, well, who? ChatGPT, you'll find out. Who in the Bible does God want us to burn up? It ain't flags. It's Google it. I just don't want the channel to get shut down because of me. That's all I got to say. Let it be pastor that gets it shut down. Amen. So I'll save the channel shutting sermons for him. I'll give you the basic, the milk of the word. This is all milk, in case you don't know.
In case you don't know. Luke, I am your father.
Whoever was laughing, I can tell you're a Star Wars fan. All right, let's go to Joshua. Let's get serious here. Let's talk about Joshua. Joshua chapter number 7. Let's talk about Israel's sins real quick. I'm almost done. Don't worry. I'm about to wrap it up. Rule of thumb, at minimum 30 minutes, maximum 60. Sometimes I go 90. Don't make me go 90, people. All right, let's go to Joshua chapter number 7. Let's start with verse number 1. I think it'll be worth going over this really quickly, and then I'll wrap it up. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Why? Because one man took something that didn't belong to him. It angered the Lord. And he's still the same today. When these nations are taking things from other nations, it angers the Lord and he never blesses it. I.e. the Iraq War, Afghanistan, Vietnam, inferior militaries, they just withstood the time, and in the end, they ended up stronger than when we first started fighting them. You think that's a coincidence? I think not. Because God doesn't care. He's going to be on the most righteous side. Yeah, he knows he has to sometimes pick, but it is what it is. He never likes it when we go to war to take resources, and then we pretend it's because of our safety, i.e. Russia. They're not going to war with Ukraine because they think Ukraine is going to one day invade us and overthrow us and make a gigantic Ukraine. No, he wants the resources. That's what Peter really wants. And this is the same thing that happens in the Bible. When people do that, God just curses those nations, like we see right now. And so let's continue reading. Let's go to verse number 19, because I am running out of time. So it says Achan took of the accursed thing, something that was supposed to be destroyed, not taken. He ends up taking it, and here Joshua confronts him. Verse number 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. At least he's confessing it, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I what? What did he do? He coveted. He coveted something that did not belong to him, something that God clearly told him, I want this destroyed. This is the accursed stuff in this nation. Don't take it. Don't touch it. I want it destroyed. He said, no. I know better. His pride kicked in. His pride kicked in. He thought he knew better. And he decided to what? Take it. But what was his issue? He coveted. He coveted. No different than when Saul, you know, saw David getting praise. You know, Saul killed his thousands, but David is 10,000s. What does he end up doing? Getting jealous, envious. You know, he wanted that praise. He coveted that praise. And did it make him a better person? Nope. It made him a wicked person. And if you're not careful when you start coveting, whatever it is, you name the thing. You know, someone's wife, someone's job, someone's position, you name it. You better be careful And you better talk yourself out of it really quick. Just call yourself out. Because if you don't, then you're not going to work on anything if you think you're all good. But you're like, bro, what are you thinking? Stop being stupid. Stop being foolish. You know? Stop acting like the devil. And more importantly, you need to be careful because the little living limit the whole life. And this can actually destroy you. Because before you did it, you thought it. That's how it always turns out. And so what do we see here? We see the punishment. He saw Babylon's garment. It says, I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So what ends up happening? It says, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, in verse 24, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen. So we got his sons, his daughters, even his animals, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, and his tent, all his stuff, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him. But that wasn't where it ended. Stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. Is that how you want to end your life? I know I don't. If I'm going to be burned up, I want it to be burned up for something good. Serving God, being martyred, you name it. Amen? I talk about it before when I'm preaching. My dream way to go out is to be here right before Christ shows up and have some guy arrest me for preaching the gospel. Takes me to whatever little torture chamber he has, and he thinks he's about to blow me away. And as soon as he squeezes that trigger, boom, I disappear. I'm on my horse, and I come back. I'm back. I'm back. Check out my wings. Whoosh. How you like them apples, guys? Thank you. I got the best of both worlds. I got to be here to the very end. And I got martyr suckers. Just check out my mansion. But y'all ain't going to see it because y'all going to hell. That's how I want to go. I don't want to get burned up because I became a covetous man. Ended up like Saul, getting my head cut off because I decided to sin against God. And my children ended up dying because of my sins. And guess what? You can't win with sin. Amen? Maybe you want to end up that way, but I don't. And this is why you need to be careful being a covetous person. 1 Timothy 6:9 says this, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil. What's the issue with what's going on in the world? All the wickedness, all these wars, all this craziness. You could take it to the bank somewhere, somehow. It goes back to the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of money. And many are going to perish because they covet. Because they covet like crazy. And that's the deal. All right, that's pretty much my sermon. But really quickly, what can we do about this stuff? You know, because we realize covetousness is dumb. It makes you look stupid. It makes you look silly. I don't know if you know this, but a lot of world leaders are laughing at Trump because of the crap he's doing at the White House, the stuff he says, how he stopped all these seven wars, who knows what else he's coming up with this week. But it's because he wants people to love him. He's desperate. He loves attention. He wants to be everybody's hero. He wants to be the center. You know, that's what he covets, that's what he wants, and at the end, he's not going to get it. Why? Because he's a wicked person. What is going to happen is whatever fears he has, and here's his fears, being mocked. Here's his fears, going to prison. Here's his fears, dying very, very soon. And so far, it looks like those three things are coming true, i.e. the Epstein files. Can we stop pretending he's not a pedophile or president yet? Can we stop pretending that he's not? Please, can we stop pretending? I can understand the world. I get it. But the NIFB, we should be the cream of the crop, especially if you're a leader in the NIFB. If you don't know by now that Donald Trump is hiding the Epstein files because he's in it, he's been accused by 23 different women or more of sexually abusing them. You know, the guy just came out saying that he believes you have to do good works to go to heaven. Hey, he's preaching damnable heresy. You know, he lies about how, like, oh, we're just trying to protect innocent people. That's why we haven't released them. He can release them tonight if he wants to. But he's afraid he'll go to prison. And in case you don't know, there was a woman that said, Donald Trump raped me when I was 13 years old. Him and Epstein raped me when I was 13 years old. 13 years old. And they went after her. They threatened her. She went into silence. It's official records.
I was in the army. Epstein raped me.
I told him, get off me. He's like, I'm a virgin. Get off me. I don't want to do this.
That's what she said. They're like, oh, that's about the two or three witnesses.
Well, actions speak louder than words, and the way Donald Trump is acting, he's definitely afraid to go to prison. That's just facts. And he wants to be loved. He wants to be feared. That's what he's constantly saying, force or whatever, because he's coveting power. He's very unhealthy. So now he's thinking more and more about death. So who knows what's going to happen? But at the end of the day, can we stop pretending this guy's a great person? Because he ain't. I can understand the world. I can understand new people in our movement. I get it. They don't know the Bible very well. But if you've been coming here for a while and you've read the Bible, get right with God. He'll reveal it to you if you ain't convinced yet. Amen? I'm not telling you to go vote for the trans-loving, abortion-loving Democrats. I don't care who's in power. Because at the end of the day, hey, most important thing is the fear of God and keep his commandments no matter who's in power. Amen. Whether it's Nebuchadnezzar or King David, it doesn't matter. You know, because God's going to bless you. And if we get persecuted, great. That means you're doing something right. Persecuted, not punished. Two different things. I'm talking about, hey, they're coming after us because we're doing what's right and they want to stop us. Amen? Don't fear none of those things where thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Amen? Amen? So don't get shocked if you get arrested because you're serving God. Don't be surprised if you'll be in prison until you die. Don't be surprised if that's how you end your life. I keep telling my kids, I think you guys are the tribulation generation. Because let's just face it, our Constitution has to be destroyed for the one world order to happen. True? And now it looks like Donald Trump is starting that process of destroying our Constitution like crazy. So I'm like, man, it's getting good, bro. People are fair, and I'm like, bro, I'm eating popcorn. Like, bro, it's getting good. Donald Trump is destroying, like, the Constitution so fast. I'm like, wow, let's see what happens. This could be the beginning stages. I'm not saying it's going to happen in 3 years or in 50 years. Who knows? I don't know. But I keep telling my kids, read your Bible, memorize Scripture, get ready for it. Because, hey, I'm probably going to be gone in 40 years. You know, I'm 40 years old. Maybe I'll make it to 90. I'm hoping I'll make it to 80. My grandpa just died this month. He made it to, I believe, 105. So I got those good genes, amen? But there's no guarantee I'll make it to 100. But I'm hoping God passed on my grandpa's genes. I'm like, yo, I hope he gave me those genes so I can make it to 100, yo. You know? And it's like, hey, well, me and Pastor will make it to 100, 120. He'll make it to 120, I'll make it to 119. You know, I'll retire when he puts me 6 feet deep. Amen? And then Ramon will take over at 100 and, how old are you? I don't know, 110 or whatever. In other words, we ain't going nowhere unless God takes us. But what to remember? Let me just remind you of what you can think of to help you overcome covetousness. Many covet because they think that what they're coveting will make them happy, bring them pleasure, give them joy. But as a reminder, joy doesn't come from your possessions, not from the things you possess, but from the God we possess, the God we have. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Ecclesiastes 2:26, God give it to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom, knowledge, and joy. So remember that. Don't lose focus. Don't covet things that are evil, like the Bible says. Those people in the Old Testament, they were our examples that we should not lust after evil things, such as they lusted. Also, set your affections on things above. Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, our heart must be anchored, you know, towards those things of heaven, not those things on earth. And it's going to be hard. Let me just put it out there. The Christian life is hard. Not all the time, but sometimes it can get hard. Where you're like, man, I just want to kill myself. Lord, just take me to heaven. I don't want to live. You see it in Scripture. And I'm not going to ask you, raise your hand if you ever thought about it. I'm not going to go there. But let's be honest. It is hard, or this verse wouldn't be in the Bible. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And whenever I read this verse, I say amen. Why? Because it says this. No man that warreth, entangling themselves with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And this verse may not be exactly what I'm about to explain, but when I was in Iraq, when I was in combat, you know what? I tried to keep myself from thinking about things that I couldn't do. Like go party on the weekend with my friends back home, my family's back home, enjoying life, having barbecues, wishing me well. I couldn't just, like it says, entangle myself with the affairs of this life. Or it would hurt me to be a good soldier and focus on my mission. When I'm just thinking, man, I wish I was back home. You know, I wish I was hanging out with my friends back home. Man, this place sucks. I don't want to be here. I don't believe in this anymore. No, I couldn't think like that. I'm at war. I can't entangle myself with the affairs of this life. Why? Because I want to do a good job. I want to please those that obviously are over me by accomplishing the missions they give me and keeping my guys alive and safe so we can go home and then party, amen? Same thing here. Our war will be over one day. Then we'll worry about being in heaven, rejoicing with those that rejoice over one sinner that repents in the presence of the angels of God. Those are the saints rejoicing when people get saved, rejoicing when people get right. Hey, we'll join them soon. Hopefully not too soon, amen? Hopefully this ain't my last sermon. I'm just saying. But life will be hard. Remember that. Remember that. Hey, true joy comes from God. Remember that. Remember that. Think more about heavenly things. Remember that. Covetous people are self-centered. They think too much about themselves. Man, I wish I had this. Man, I wish I had that. Don't be that guy or gal. And just do your best to be content. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And remember what Jesus said. Hey, don't rejoice because those devils are subject unto you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You know, the more the better. Think about as much as you can, you know, to get you to have the joy that you think you'll get from coveting whatever it is. And of course, I got to throw this one in there. Just keep on praying, amen? Keep on watching and praying that you enter not into temptation. And the temptation is to covet. We all have it. It's a sin that's common to man. We just need to be careful of it. So we don't do things that are going to destroy our lives. Amen. And just remind yourself, you cannot win with sin. You know, if you have iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. And what does that matter? Well, Proverbs 29:26, many seek the ruler's favor. Many people are going to Donald Trump. Mr. Trump, I got a gold-plated bar for you. Oh, thank you. Next, Mr. Trump, I got a $400 million plane for you. Here you go, you know. Oh, okay, next. People just bringing him gold, trying to seek the ruler's favor because they're afraid of Trump. They're scared because they know he's out of his mind. He's going through dementia. Who knows what else? You know, he says that he turned down some kind of water faucet in Northern California, or he turned it on and he shot water all the way to L.A. What the heck is that? He's been smoking something. Just telling you, that's what he says. And so, of course, many seek the ruler's favor, but every judgment cometh from the Lord. The Lord. And just if anything, to help you become to keep you from becoming a covetous person, just do what Daniel did and purpose in your heart that you're not going to be one. That you're going to do your best to fight against this sin. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And we need to do that. Lord, help us not. Pray, help us not to be covetous people. Help me not to be a covetous fool, a devilish fool. It will make me a dangerous individual when I covet power. Then I'll do whatever it takes to get that power. Lie, steal, and kill. And that's exactly what you see from our president. He lied over 30,000 times in the first 4 years. 30,000 times. Is he on the record to break that right now? Does that sound like a normal man to you? No, because what does he do? He covets the power that Putin has. He covets the power that that guy from North Korea has. The power that China holds, where they can control just about anything. He wants that too. And he's not going to stop until he gets it. So just get ready for it. More craziness is coming from Trump. But my fate ain't in that guy. My fate is in God. And I know as long as I please him and keep his commandments and I do what's right, not perfect, just keep the basics and you'll be in your own little Goshen. You'll be like Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar says, kill all these wise men. They can't tell me my dream. Kill them all. Daniel's so busy when they finally come to get him. He's like, what the heck's going on? Well, the king wants you all dead. Why? Why so hasty? Why so quick? Well, it's been a few days, Daniel. These guys couldn't tell him his dream. You've just been busy doing the right thing. And now, guess what? Their sins are kind of affecting you. But what did he do right away? He went to God. God, protect me. Hey, if you want us to perish, we'll perish, but I don't want to die this way. If it's your will for me to live, let's do it. And guess what? He delivered him from Nebuchadnezzar. And you know what? He'll deliver us from any danger as well. If you do what's right, you keep pleasing God. Bible makes it very clear, Psalms 34, that he'll deliver you from all your fears. Not some, all your fears. So what if he doesn't? Then that tells us that you weren't serving him like you thought you would. Just being honest. And just be like Daniel. Purpose in your heart, you will not defile yourself. And that's exactly what we all need to do. So in the end, how can we cure this covetousness that creeps in our hearts? By having the correct mindset. I didn't tell you to go there. I'm just going to say it out loud. Romans 12. Romans 12 says this. I beseech you. In other words, I beg you. And I'm begging my kids. I'm begging the young kids. I'm begging the adults. I'm begging the teenagers. I'm begging the older people. Sorry about that.
I'm begging you all.
Like it says right there. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm not asking you guys to do anything above and beyond. I'm asking you to do what's your reasonable service. And what is our reasonable service? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you do that? Doing what you're doing now. Hearing God's word, reading your Bible, serving the Lord, being good in his sight, he'll give you the wisdom and the joy that you admire, that you desire. He's going to do it. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, here's the issue with Satan and everybody else, here's where it starts, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I deserve that position. Not this guy. If people knew how he really was, they wouldn't be following this guy. I should be in charge. I should be the one running the show. I. Pride. Got to be careful when you think of yourself more highly than you should. Then you'll start coveting things that you think you deserve. All to just end up destroying your life and those around you. But to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Daniel purposed in his heart. Paul told us to endure hardness. Jesus commanded us to watch and pray. Solomon warned that sin ever wins. Both David and Solomon testified that joy is found in God's presence. If we set our affections on things above, it would be harder for us to begin to love the things here in this world. So at the end of the day, that mindset that you have will ruin you or make you. The more you hear God's word, the more your faith will grow, the more spiritually minded you'll be, the more strong you'll be. And that's how you'll overcome this sin of covetousness. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for everything you've done for us, Lord. We are what we are by your grace, Lord. And so I'm asking you this morning to just help us, Father, to grow. Help us to be stronger than we were yesterday. And help everybody hear their Father to not listen to me, but to listen to your word and obey your word. Because ultimately, that will bring us the joy that we look, that we think things are going to give us. So we ask you, Father, to protect us from becoming covetous, wicked, devilish, foolish people, and to serve you with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
All right, let's sing one last song before we're dismissed. Song number 110. Song number 110. All the way my Savior leads me. Song number 110. All the way. All the way my Savior leads me to His shrine.
and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, low a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, low a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love, perfect rest.
Dismissed.